And now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Our show tonight will feature Margaret Gray with her campaign 2004 report. Don't miss it. She's had conversations with Teresa Heinz Kerry, and we'll be giving us her view of the first ladies. We're also going to be talking with Steve Bozell, a construction contractor from Corona, California, who is filing a lawsuit on behalf of the Kerry campaign and Kerry voters. I do have a gentleman hanging on the line, sir, and you are there, sir? Is that gentleman there, Chris? Are you there, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, give us your name and just go ahead and tell us what it is that you wanted to say.
My name is Walter David Maynard. I'm currently awaiting execution on death row at Union Correctional Institution in Rayford, Florida, for the crime of capital murder.
All right. When were you sentenced, sir?
I was in 1982. I was sentenced in Orlando, Florida.
And the crime is murder, yes?
Yes, sir, for the murders of Lewis and Cynthia Jerome. I'm also currently on appeal, though. My attorney is Mr. John Podek of Castleberry, Florida. So if people can write a letter and tell him of their support for me, I'm hoping to have my case overturned on appeal.
And you have written a book?
I have written a book. It's called Quality Time with Your Children. And the book is essentially about how to spend more quality time with your children. I've also written a book on dating tips for young people and also how to plan an inexpensive wedding.
Okay, I just want to be clear here, Mr. Maynard, and not to interrupt you.
If I could just say what I want to say, because I can't think very clearly when people interrupt me. A prison counselor told me I have a control issue with that.
Okay, go ahead.
My name is Walter David Maynard. I'm currently serving a death sentence on death row on the Union Correctional Institution for the crime of capital murder. I've written a book called Quality Time with Your Children. How to spend quality time with your kids. From the ages 1 to 3, it's important to read to your children. It will help them with their reading ability. From age 3 to 5, it's important to teach them how to behave in public and how to act like a little lady or a little gentleman. From age 5 to 8, it's very important to get them to study and take their scholastic work seriously. And by the time they're 8 to 12 years of age, that's probably the best time, and you may be interested at that time in molesting them. Or
oh, God. What in the name of everything holy, Mr. Maynard?
Well, I blew it with that part, right?
Is that in your book?
Yeah, I knew that would be controversial.
Controversial? Let me ask you a question. Who published a piece of work like that? What do you mean between 8 and 12 it's a good time to molest them?
You have to understand that I have a sociopathic nature. The prison doctor told me that I'm sociopathic and psychopathic, so I try to do the good stuff and it comes out bad. So that's probably part of the book that I shouldn't put in, huh?
No, man, I wouldn't put that in. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't publish the book if I were a publisher, and if I were you, I'd take it and flush it down a toilet. Is he there? Mr. Maynard, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. And be careful how you talk to me.
All right, well, look, since you're inside, what difference does it make to me, okay?
I just want to say that...
Who published this book?
I published the book myself with the help of some people on the outside. Lonnie Jackson and Mr. William Huntsbury both put up the money so I could publish it. And there's a lady in Alamont Springs, Kathleen Dunderhurst, who is going to buy up 300 copies. And she's going to donate the money to me for my appeal.
So what do you want me to do, man? You want me to give out a...
Well, if anybody's interested in purchasing the book, they can contact my attorney, Mr. John Podek, at Castleberry, Florida.
Take out that crap about between the ages of 8 and 12.
Okay, yeah. You think so?
Yeah, I think so, man.
Can I give out my phone number? Or?
No, man, don't give out your phone number, and I don't want you calling here again. Do you understand me, Mr. Maynard? 3 weeks running. Last week, wedding tips, and a week before that, dating tips, and each one of them ends with somebody getting their head caved in with the claw end of a hammer.
So I had to take those parts out, huh?
Yeah, take those parts out, man. Good God. Pelton, Look, at every time a jailbird called, you see, here's the thing, and you have to understand, a lot of folks don't understand. A lot of times you get these jailbirds calling collect, and they're hoping they'll take, you know, somebody on the other end will take the call. You know, a lot of these little old ladies take these collect calls. Lonely old people take a collect call. There's a collect call from John, will you accept? And if it's a lonely old person, they'll go, yeah, and it turns out it's some freaking jailbird sitting in a cage someplace. You don't take those calls. Pelton takes them. Why? Because he thinks it's probably from a relative of his. 1-800-449-8686. Walter David Maynard's quality time with your kids. Phil Hendry Show here. Tonight we're going to have Margaret Gray with a campaign 2004 report. And that'll be pretty interesting because, well, the campaign's heating up. Today, Senator Kerry said that President Bush will not answer the questions about his service record. Do you notice as much as these guys say they want to get past all this personal stuff and get into the actual substantive issues of the campaign, they can't bring themselves to do it? Me, I've been saying it for a long time. I don't care about Senator Kerry's service in Vietnam any more than I care about President Bush's service in the National Guard. I'm sure both men served with great honor. I give Senator Kerry everything. I think he earned his medals. I think he served with honor in Vietnam, and I think that should never have been brought out. I think the things that he said in front of the Senate in 71 are a matter of public record. What he did in the Nam, I don't know. What he said after he got back was recorded and videotaped, so you can't really run away from that. Bush, the guy's got a dishonorable discharge. See, so there you go. He served his country with a dishonorable discharge. No, Bush has got an honorable discharge. So let's get past all of that and let's get down to brass tacks. What's this campaign about? So far, it's about the president running on his record in Iraq and his war on terror and the fact that he's led the country in a responsible and in a strong way against the war, against the terrorists. And you got Senator Kerry, who is like against all of that, but he doesn't know what he's standing for, and that's where it's at. Now, these guys that came out with this ad, Texans for Truth, they have now pretty much admitted that those papers are forgeries. You know the papers that Dan Rather? How'd you like to be Dan Rather? First of all, the guy is permanently humorless. He's got that kisser on him that looks like somebody just threw just a thin coating of super glue on, so he just can't, I'm Dan Rather. You know, in other words, they look, the cheeks don't move. Hello, I'm Dan Rather. And now this guy, because you know where this all comes from? Drudge. See, Matt was the guy that started anarchy in journalism. And with his website and his fearlessness in posting things, and then you decide, all these other news gathering agencies got upset, and so they all began to sort of look like wannabe Matt Drudge wannabes, including Dan Rather. So he gets a hold of this cop, this paper, and he stakes the reputation of CBS News on it, and the stuff turns out that it was printed up down here at Bonnie's Wedding Invitation Emporium. You know how they knew? Because it had little hearts and flowers up at the edge there, you know, and then it's like, you are invited to President Bush is a real... And also, in the memo, if it was done in 1971, why is he referred to as President Bush? President Bush did not serve... Lieutenant Bush. It's a load of hooey. And even the guys that this Texans for Truth, the guys that brought it out, now they're admitting that it probably is. But they're saying, still, he should answer the question. $50,000 they're offering anybody who can prove that Bush served in the National Guard. Never mind a guy's got his honorable discharge papers. This is the time, your time is being wasted on this stuff. My time is being wasted on this stuff, right? It's pretty cool, though. Saw Sean Penn in the news today. He had on his shades. He was sitting at the Toronto Film Festival, scratching his chin and sniffing his finger and answering questions about his latest film, I.R. Sean Penn, or something like that. I forget what it's called. Speaking of I.R. Sean Penn, Michael Moore's America comes up on our show in just moments. We're going to have a Spanish radio sporting event tonight I think you'll enjoy. Margaret Gray will be with us, as well as Steve Bozell, who's filing that lawsuit against everybody on behalf of the Kerry campaign. And we'll have a visit from, when's the last time you heard us do Comb Over Boy? He'll be on the air tonight. And a few other things here on the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Coming up October 1st, we'll be in Salt Lake City. So contact your local stations for details about that. And our web address, again, is www.philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686 is the number here, and I got a caller on the line here. Who is this? Jim?
Hello, Phil.
How are you?
We're good, Phil. I wanted to ask a favor of you, and my wife and I listen to you, but we also have a six-month-old baby named Joshua who loves your program, and we're driving around the car with him right now because he has had a problem falling asleep at times. Sometimes we bring him in the car to listen to your show.
Can I hear? I can hear him there, right? Where is he?
Well, he's trying to sleep. We tried to get him to sleep. He was sleeping just a moment ago, but I guess not.
Where are you?
We're in Madison, Wisconsin.
Madison, Wisconsin. Is that the little guy I hear?
Yeah. Is it? We're trying to calm him down now. But I was wondering if you'd if I put the phone to him, that you'd talk to him.
Does he listen to you? So he falls asleep listening to me, huh?
Yes, he does. You have a quality to your voice I guess he likes.
All right, go ahead and put the phone over to him. What do you want me to say?
Just tell him to say hello to him and say, hey, Joshua, this is Phil. And can I do that?
Go ahead. Hey, Joshua. Hey, buddy. Hey, Joshua. Hey, man. I don't know, man. Hey, Joshua, how you doing?
He's trying to sleep. If you talk to him...
Well, I don't know what to say to a baby that's crying, you know what I mean?
Tell him, just tell him, hello, Joshua, just try to get...
All right, hello, Joshua. Hello, Joshua. How you doing, buddy? I'm not calming him down.
Well, I think if you could sing a song for him.
Well, you know what, sir? I got to get on with my show.
Well, if you could do that, we'd appreciate it.
I don't know what song to sing.
If you could just sing a lullaby to him, because he loves you, and we love you.
Well, he loves me. He likes the sound of my voice. Apparently, he didn't like the sound of my voice that much.
Joshua, here's Mr. Henry. Go ahead, Mr. Henry, sing.
I can't. I don't know what to do. Hold on for a minute. David?
What are you doing?
I'm tired. This guy called in and his baby's crying.
No, I know that, but why don't you sing the kid a song?
What song am I going to sing this kid?
Sing the kid a lullaby. Some rockabye baby bullcrap. Is the caller there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Phil Hendry will sing the kid a song.
What song am I going to sing?
What about the rockabye baby thing?
What is that song, Phil?
What rockabye baby thing?
The one that goes rockabye baby. What is it?
I don't know. Mr. Henry, do you know it?
Look, can I ask a question here?
Why are you wasting time? The kid's screaming.
I want to ask a question, man. Is this in my job description to sing some baby to sleep?
Is it in your job? Just get a load of this guy, huh?
Mr. Henry, we love your program. Why are you being selfish?
I'm being
sing the rockabye baby deal.
I don't know what the rockabye baby deal is.
Rockabye baby on a treetop.
What, bud?
It's on a treetop.
Okay, put the phone up to the kid. Rock-a-bye baby on the treetop when the wind blows. Is that it?
Yeah, keep singing.
Go ahead, Phil, you're doing good.
Rock-a-bye baby on the treetop when the wind blows the... Don't you laugh at me, Dickman.
Forget about Dickman, sing it.
He's over there laughing. Rock-a-bye baby.
Forget it.
Rock-a-bye baby on the treetop.
No, you're being too harsh. Sing it more in a more mellifluous way.
What do you mean, more mellifluous?
Look, do that Mary Had a Little Lamb one.
I don't know what that is.
Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Is that a lullaby?
Yeah.
Mary Had a Little... How does the song go?
I don't know. You're the guy with four kids.
Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Oh, that was great.
No, Phil, you have to sing because the baby will cry if you don't sing.
Twinkle, twinkle, I got this one.
Yeah, do that twinkle one.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I...
Boy, you suck.
Phil, try singing one about...
Will you guys come on, man? I got other stuff I got to do here.
No, really.
Do what the guy says, okay? This is called serving the public.
Yeah, Phil.
Do what he say. Hey, try Freebird. What do you mean, try Freebird?
Or anything.
On a dark desert highway.
Oh, what a moron! Hotel California!
Jesus, even I'm not that dumb.
What are you trying to do, Phil? Hurt my kid?
I don't know what to say. Okay, I'm hanging up on all of these jackballs.
What do you mean, Hotel California? Not a lullaby?
Dickman, do me a favor, will you?
Yeah?
Go out there in the middle of the 405 and pick up my sunglasses. They flew out of the car today as I was coming in here.
Oh, okay, right out in the middle.
Yeah, right out there in number one lane. 1-800-449-8686. Speaking of that, what are you trying to do to me anyway, Pelton? I don't want to put some kid to sleep. If I'm putting the kid to sleep, look, hey, kid, if you're listening to me right now, good. Is the radio busted in that guy's car? By the way, I was going down Santa Monica Boulevard today here in Los Angeles. And have you ever seen a good traffic cop at work? When's the last time you saw a traffic cop? That's few and far between, right? They had a guy working a street corner out here at Santa Monica because they're ripping the street up doing something. I don't know what they're doing. This guy was beautiful. He had the white gloves and he's doing, all right, you, come on, come on, come on, come on. Yo, ho, ho, ho. You know, hold up the other guy there. He's got the arm windmilling. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Then he sees the guy wants to turn. He points that guy, tells him to turn there. Another guy going there. And yeah, the guy was dressed, the L.A. cops are now wearing, the traffic guys look like they're Bahamian traffic police. They got the shorts with the white gloves and that white hat. And there's something about watching a traffic cop, they're totally in control. You know, they know exactly, this guy was like, you stop, you go, come on. You know, he starts wagging the arm real fast. Let's go. You stop, you go. So I was watching this guy, and suddenly I realized that I'd been sitting in the same spot for about a half hour. And that's how I got the ticket. All right.
Nice way to get out of that one.
Margaret Gray tonight on the Campaign 2004 Report. Steve Bozell coming up tonight at 9 o'clock on suing on behalf of the Kerry campaign. He has a very interesting lawsuit. You have to hear this one. I don't want to misstate it or misrepresent it, but I can tell you it's an interesting one. We'll also have a visit from Comb Over Boy tonight, and a few other things. We want to mention our Steve Bozell for President t-shirt in advance of Steve's appearance on our show. It's on our website at www.philhenryshow.com. You go to our souvenir shop, and you can pick up the Steve Bozell for President 2004 t-shirt. Vote for me or I'll sue you. That's right. That's the campaign slogan that's rallying millions, that is motivating an entire nation. Vote for me or I'm just going to take your butt to court and sue it. Sue your butt. Now, also, people have asked, what about the Best of 2004 CD? This baby is going to be sweet. We've got a Best of 2004 CD. It's another double CD set. This one will feature one CD with our great phone calls, and another will feature our great skits like Art Bell, Skippy and Frank, maybe a little bit of Cowboy Jim, who knows what else. So we'll have a double CD set of the phone calls. It'll be the Best of the Phil Henry Show, the phone calls, Best of the Phil Henry Show, the skits. And the title of this year's CD, Fahrenheit 7-Eleven. Now on the cover, I'll be dressed as Michael Moore, shoveling endless amounts of nacho cheese and chili into my face. What do you think?
Pretty good.
I like it. And I thought of that all by my lonesome, man. No help from no marketing department or none of that there. All right, 1-800-449-8686. So be looking for the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2004 Fahrenheit 7-Eleven. It'll be on our website. We'll be you like that, Mark? And we'll be selling it and also signing autographed copies coming up. It's the Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. One 800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
It's time now on the Phil Henry Show for Michael Moore's America.
Hello, everyone. I'm Michael Moore. I don't know if you see the movie or not, but it's a funeral for President Bush. His long consistency to the American people. Except this one here, because friend Alfred Hitchcock, to tell you more. Alfred? Yes, Michael. No, Alfred Hitchcock. And now, Orson Welles, another great filmmaker. I will go with Orson Welles as a whole filmmaker with me. No, you can have a bonus for the night. Orson Welles, Orson, come on in.
Thank you. My name is Orson Welles. It never occurred to me that I would be quite as brilliant as Michael Moore. But you don't want me.
Really? You don't want me?
Oh, yes. My question. You have been away by the movie that's been entertained. Well, what have I been? For you.
Wow, how the hell am I going to be with you? Orson Welles said that I'm a better filmmaker than you! And now I have to bring on some people who like my movie. What's your name, sir?
My name is William Johnson.
And you really like my movie, don't you?
I've never seen your movie. I don't even know who you are.
Say you like my movie.
But I don't know who you are.
Say you like my movie! Say it! Say you love my movie!
I love your movie. I think it's really great.
Okay. No, William.
Cynthia Brown, I really like your movie. Who are you?
I'm Michael Moore, you piece of... You whore! You whore! And now let's talk to this little boy. Because someday this little boy's gonna grow up to be a big boy. And then, you know what's gonna happen to him? President Bush is gonna draft him into the army. I'm gonna have to go and fight. I'm gonna get killed in a lot of land. What's your name, little boy?
Don't hurt me.
No, I'm not gonna hurt you. What's your name?
Timmy Brown.
Okay, Timmy. You like my movie, don't you?
What movie is that?
Shanghai 9/11, Michael Moore movie. You like my movie, don't you? Say you like it or I'll eat you. I'll eat you. Say you like it.
But I never saw your movie. I don't eat you.
No, please don't. Fantastic. Well, until we move with all next week, this is Michael Moore. And I'm Alfred Hitchcock. And I'm Orson Welles. So, don't believe everything you see, but go see it anyway!
Michael Moore's America. Brought to you by Alka-Seltzer, the makers of many fine products. I'm Irving Farquhar speaking for The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hey, you know, I just want to say, things we do in the show are all in fun. We take our shots, but I don't want anybody to think that I have anything but the greatest, warmest feelings for Michael Moore and all of the fine, wonderful film people and them kind of folk. So just please don't think that I wouldn't enjoy socializing with them for an evening, being invited to a premiere, whatever it is they've got in mind. I'm simply having just a little tiny bit of fun. And when you hear us later on make fun of Sean Penn, please know that we're just having fun with Mr. Penn. We don't mean to actually imply that he is seriously homosexual or anything close to that. And later on, when you hear us also have a little bit of fun at Janine Garofalo's expense, please understand that we're not in any way, shape, or form actually trying to get you to believe that she has a penis. Now, we have on our program this evening a flashback from yesterday's show. It's Vernon Dozier. Mr. Dozier was on to talk about being the dean of discipline at Belmar Academy, and what that means is a very strict dress code for the girls. Long dresses, loose-fitting pants, but to let the girls feel as if they're not so restricted, they encourage them to keep the top three buttons of their blouses unbuttoned.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I just want to say I think that this gentleman is an absolute outrage. You know, you're speaking of the women community and of young women. I am a young woman, and I am outraged at the thought that you would be requesting that we, you know, the girls unbutton.
No, Crystal, we're allowing the girls to feel good about themselves.
The girls to feel good about themselves. I don't need to feel good about themselves by unbuttoning the top three of my blouse. I feel good in a suit, a business suit.
You don't want to look like Britney Spears or all of them.
Excuse me, you have the wrong outlook of women. Women choose to dress they want to choose, the way they want. You can dress the way you want to look. Some girls want to dress like that, some girls don't. But
well,
to require a girl to do that is absolutely outrageous.
Well, what if we don't require
it? Now listen to me.
If we don't require it, then they're going to come complaining to us, oh, the dress code is too restrictive. And what we have done is we've said, all right, here's a restrictive dress code, but here's something you can do to make yourself feel good. But if you're, you know, your breasts are too big, then we make you keep it buttoned up.
Okay, that is completely, completely outrageous. You're teaching women.
How's that outrageous?
That they are objects. They are objects. Women are not objects. Women have a mind, and a very, you know, very intelligent women out there that, you know, have much higher positions than I'm sure you're holding right now.
Ma'am, I don't know what it is you're referring to, ma'am. Who would you rather look like, Britney Spears or that Laura Ingalls on that Little House on the Prairie? You know what that?
I would rather look like myself and dress as I want to dress. I have two sons of my own, and if they were being sent to a school that you ran, I would take you to court because this.
How are you going
to?
Wait a minute. This is a private school. You can't touch me with a 10-foot pole.
I didn't say I would. If my kids went to the school, because basically you would be saying, let the boys run around without underwear, or let them run around with their pants undone to accommodate.
No,
women.
Ma'am, no, ma'am, that's ridiculous. I'm not asking women to expose themselves. I'm simply saying, look, the young men in the school need a little relaxation, so do the male teachers. Unbutton the...
Wait, the young men...
That is outrageous.
What do you mean, the male teachers?
I'm not asking anybody to show anything. We asked them to unbutton the top couple of blousy buttons. Give me a break. What?
Give you a break? You're saying the women are parading around your school for the enjoyment of you and the other male teachers.
No,
and
ma'am.
The male
no, ma'am, I am not saying that.
Yes, you did.
That's the statement you exactly said.
That's what you said.
No, sir. The lady has me confused, and I want to tell you something. I've been around female students for 17 years. I know all about young girls and how they, you know, everything they like to show. And I can tell you, you got to be a teacher to understand where I'm. Man, the
you have to
I've
be
seen.
A female to understand our point of view.
Wait a minute,
hold on.
Crystal, hold on. What do you mean? What do you mean? The things you've seen in 17 years of being around female students?
I'm sorry.
What do you mean? The things you've seen?
I've seen young girls wanting to come to school with the black, you know, nails, like they're all what they call goth. Okay. And they want to come to school looking like, you know, this Christina Aguilera. I don't know if you've ever seen her, but, man, she's got it all hanging out everywhere. And so what am I supposed to say? I say to the girls, all right, look, if you wear this dress code, we'll go ahead and let you keep those buttons unbuttoned. That's all I'm saying, Crystal. And also, yeah, it helps me relax.
Helps you relax.
Look, ma'am. We've never gotten a complaint by a girl when crying to their dad-da for what they're wearing. It's only their mom.
Well, you better believe that their dad-da probably has the same outlook that you are. You know, your objective is to help you relax. It helps you relax going around school and seeing girls with their blouses unbuttoned.
Well, you know what? And that's the whole problem, Mr. Henry, and it just dawned on me. These girls go home and they cry to daddy because they can't take...
Well, I'm sure the mothers are outraged, too.
I never have a problem with the mothers. It's only when the girl goes home and goes, Daddy, man, make me open blouse. God, that P.O.'s me.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Vernon Dozier, and again, our Best of the Year 2004 CD, which will be called Fahrenheit 711. is due out soon. We have put the finishing touches on production. The artwork is in place. People are working overtime. We are running three shifts at the factory. We have stopped all unnecessary leave or vacations. All communication and traffic going out or into our plant has now been suspended. And only one thing is going to propel us forward these days, and that's to get the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2004 CD, Fahrenheit 711, with me dressed as Michael Moore, shoveling nacho cheese into my face and using one of those funnels for oil to pour chili into my gullet. That picture will be on the cover. Yes, me as Michael Moore, shoveling huge amounts of...
Okay, come on!
What?
What are we going to beat to death the fact the guy's fat? We get it, he's fat.
Well, I just wanted to paint a picture.
You painted the picture.
Thank you for butting into the show again. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Randy, hi, go ahead.
Hello, Phil. I really enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Could you repeat what you just said a moment or two ago, sir?
About what?
You were mentioning about your CD.
Oh, about the Best of 2004?
Yes, sir.
It's coming out. It should be coming out soon.
No, I heard that part, but the other part, and I can't remember what it was, but you started out talking about the CD and...
Oh, the fact that it's called Fahrenheit 711.
No, I know that part. When you went into...
The fact that I was talking about all the food that I was shoveling into my mouth?
No, I got that. You were talking... I can't remember what it was, but you were talking about...
Well, what exactly was I talking about?
You were talking about your CD.
Okay.
And I remember you saying... You talked about the food, you talked about the...
David Hall, my boss, just jumped in?
No, I heard him. You were saying about the CD and the funnel. And
oh, the funnel, I'm going to funnel chili down in my face?
No, not that. It was something else.
Well, what...
I didn't hear it because I'm at work right now, so they just turned the radio off. Could you just repeat what you were saying about...
Okay, Fahrenheit 711 is the name of our new CD. It's...
No, I heard all of that.
Well, what part do you want me to say, man?
Say the other part. The part that I...
The part you didn't hear?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fahrenheit 711 is coming out. I know you heard this part. And it's our new CD, The Best of 2004. Oh, I know what you didn't hear, what you missed. One CD is going to be of skits.
No, I know that.
You heard that?
Yeah.
All right, did you hear the fact that the other CD is going to be of our phone calls? And
no, I heard that part, too.
Well, buddy, you heard just about the whole thing. Oh, I know. We're working overtime?
No, I got that. No, it was right after that.
Right after what?
Right after you said you were all working overtime.
We're working overtime to get the CD out, and shifts are coming in, and then David Hall jumped in and told... Oh, I was talking about Michael Moore?
No, I heard that. I heard that. God, what was it? If you could just repeat it, then I'd know it was...
We're at the factory? We're hard at work at the factory?
No. Repeat to me the part about the two CDs.
Okay. One of the CDs is going to be of our best skits, which is like our Michael Moore bit or our Skippy and Frank, stuff like that. And the other CD...
No, I got that part.
About what?
About the skits.
Then what's the other part you want me to repeat?
The other CD.
The other CD is phone calls from the show.
No, I heard that. Tell me about the part...
You heard that, and you heard the part about the CDs. Yeah, the part about the...
I heard the part about the skits and the phone calls, yeah. But I didn't hear the one part you said just after you said that part about the...
Can I... look at...
Tell you what, is Bud Dickman there?
Huh?
Is Bud there?
Yeah. Bud.
Yes, sir. This is Bud Dickman.
Yeah, Bud, what was it Phil was talking about on that CD that I missed?
I don't know what he's talking about.
Oh, you mean... The fact that it's going to be coming out very shortly?
Yeah, that was it. Thank you.
What's your problem?
What's my problem?
Yeah. You wasted all that airtime? The guy just wanted to answer a question. Said,
oh, well, excuse me, Mr. Hall. I didn't know what the guy was asking me, okay?
I did.
How did you possibly know what that guy wanted? I went through every freaking thing in the bit, and you come up with it?
Yeah, the problem with you is you can't see the forest for a tree.
Thank you, Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Who he?
I can't see the forest for a tree? How do you...
Yeah, you know what? Get your head out of your butt. That's part of the problem.
Margaret Gray's campaign 2004 report coming up. Steve Bozell tonight on a lawsuit
He is leveling against the people who would impugn his voting for Kerry. We are going to also have tomorrow night Jay Sanos and, of course, the regular plastic surgery bit, sew me up so tight I'm talking through a hole in my face. On Thursday, Bobby Dooley and the Hal and Viola teen peer pressure bit, and then, of course, Ted Bell on Friday night here on the Phil Hendry Show. And we'll be in Salt Lake City on October the 1st. You know, these guys in Salt Lake City are the greatest. Every year they bring us up there to Deer Valley, treat us like royalty. We get to meet some of our wealthier listeners. Really, you know, by the way, Mark, did you know they're going to fly us first class over there? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're going to fly us first class over there. April. Oh, yeah. Hey, April. I mean, April, we hope we see you. No, what's this? April. I go, April. Oh, yeah, April. So anyway, we're going to be up there on October the 1st. We're going to do our show from there. These guys are really nice folks, and our affiliate in Salt Lake City, Call, K-A-L-L, and everybody, they're really sweet. So we go up there, and it's like this crowd of really wealthy people, I mean, kind of the higher end of our listenership. A lot of cats that are affiliated with government, like the Attorney General for the entire state of Utah is a big fan of the show. And then we met like the mayor of Provo or something, and then some cat from Salt Lake, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, sees us off at the airport as we fly away. I can look down on the ground, and there they are all on their robes, just, as we just wing our way out of there. And the Utah Jazz come out and do a couple of numbers. So I don't want you to think I'm doing one of Rome's tour stops, but, you know, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a tour stop, only instead of having, like, Carl Malone, I'm going to have the whole freaking Tabernacle Choir out there. And now, Phil Hendry. So that'll be on October the 1st, and then, let's see, oh yeah, we got a one-man show we're going to be planning very shortly. You ain't going to want to miss out on this, baby. Go to our website for a few more details, www.philhendryshow.com. That's www.philhendryshow.com. And our DVD pick of the week, Fistful of Dollars with Clint Eastwood, the movie's best line, I don't think, how does it go? I don't think it's funny you laughing at my mule. See, my mule gets the funny idea you're laughing at him. I don't know. Look at the mule line from Fistful of Dollars. It's up there somewhere. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray's campaign 2004 report is next.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Steve Bozell joins us at 9 o'clock. A lawsuit being filed on behalf of John Kerry supporters. He'll be telling us about that. Margaret Gray joins us now on our Campaign 2004 report with a look tonight at First Ladies, Margaret.
And, Phil, when you look at the First Ladies, you're looking at the women, the two men who want to be president of the United States. Or when you look at the First Ladies, I should say, you are looking at women that men who became president chose as their mates. When you look at the two women involved in this campaign, Theresa Heinz Kerry and Laura Bush, you're looking at the women that two men, one who is president, the other that aspires to be president, two men chose. I'm a very big John Kerry supporter because I am a very big Theresa Heinz Kerry supporter. She's a woman who's made herself financially secure. And I think what is most important, she's not embarrassed and she doesn't make apologies for being the financial support of her husband. She's a strong woman. I talked with Theresa this past weekend. I am moved by her practicality. John receives an allowance from the family monies that are monitored by her. She has a great discipline when it comes to this. Then we look at Laura Bush. And you see, I think, a decidedly different story. You come away with the same impression that most of the American people, I think, Phil, are really beginning to come away with. She comes off as smug. She indulges two daughters that really need a much firmer hand, I think, the way they run around in public and so on.
You think Laura Bush is a smug person. Some people think she's probably more down to earth.
Well, I think it's a trait. I think smugness it keeps coming up when I talk with people about her. She stands there in front of the press as if she is so wonderful. And it's her husband who's the president, not her.
When you talk to people about the first ladies, what is their impression of each woman?
So the people I talk to have said all the same thing. Teresa Hines is down to earth, I think. You mentioned Laura Bush being down to earth. I think they see Teresa as down to earth. She's in control of her family. She is totally aware of what her husband is doing at all times. I don't know if you heard of the news about a month or so ago. She upbraided John Kerry in public for not being more deferential to her.
I heard something about that, yeah.
She had, apparently she had a headache, and he was taking her by the arm. And she said to him, basically, don't take me by the arm like I am your concubine or I'm your whore. I mean, this is...
Well, you don't think that he meant that, do you?
No, but what I'm saying is Phil, he's pawing her in public. He's pawing at her in public.
Well, what I heard was this. He was taking her by the arm to help her into the helicopter, and she said she had a headache, and she was a little short-tempered with him.
No. She was acting as if she was an invalid, and she said to him, stop it. And she did something, really, that more women should do. She screamed it because she was asserting herself. And again, you contrast this with Laura Bush, who tries to set, you know, she tries to act as if she's so special. That's the thing I noticed about Laura Bush. She thinks she's so great because she's married to the president. But she's willing to, as a woman, when her husband oversteps himself, is she willing to scream at him at the top of her lungs, don't treat me like a child? Women are tired of this. Teresa Hines Kerry is the kind of woman that will do this. And that's why I'm a big admirer of John Kerry. I think he selected a wonderful woman as the first lady.
I want to ask you something, Margaret. In your own marriage, just, you know, I've been married 7 years, but I want to ask you, in your own marriage, do you assert yourself with your husband in the way that you're saying, screaming or asserting?
Well, when I need to, so yes. It's about showing other women what it is to be a self-actualized woman, especially in the 21st century. Frank and I were at a wedding of the daughter of Frank's partner. And Frank was taking me by the arm in the limousine, and we came in with another couple, and I looked at him, and I made sure people could hear me. And I screamed as loud as I could, take your hand off of me. Because, Phil, if men want to keep pawing at us as women and grabbing at us, then we have to be assertive. Again, it brings us back to Laura Bush. Have you seen her? I'm sure she gets up in the morning and looks in the mirror and says to herself, I am so wonderful. You know, she has the bearing about her that isn't assertive. It's furtive. Furtive. It is a cold, almost... And forgive me, but it's almost what the kids would call a bitch queen demeanor.
Well, that's, man, that is harsh. I mean, we're talking about the first lady.
Well, she acts as if she wouldn't say crap if she had a mouth full of it. And that's what I'm talking about.
All right, Margaret Gray joins us. Her campaign 2004 report, our number is 1-800-449-8686. And in her interviews with people, and she also spent some time with Teresa Hines this past weekend, she is finding that people really think Teresa Hines is more down to earth and more in control of her family, that Laura Bush comes off as smug. You feel Laura Bush thinks she's so special, and Teresa Hines, therefore, is a woman who is practical and down to earth, correct?
No, I do think so. I'm finding out billions of American women are, and I came up with a very fun idea, Phil. Teresa Hines is the heiress to one of America's most successful companies, the Hines Company, and I came up with an idea. How the American women can voice their support for Teresa, and it's a lot of fun, and it's very different. But I think outside of the box, and I think this is something that is going to allow women to finally get to make a statement about the Bush administration's shackling of us and throwing this smug woman, Laura Bush, who you can just tell she thinks she's so wonderful. I'm married to the president, and you're not, this kind of thing. Now, women of the world really have been shedding blood for their countries for a long time, if you think about it, Phil, in the form of what we experience once a month. And I'm trying to be as delicate as I can. Now, this is a really different idea, but to show our support for Teresa Hines, we are asking American women on November the 2nd, is that the day before the election? I don't know. Phil?
Chris, check. What's the day before the election?
whichever day that is.
All right, the day before Election Day.
On the day before the election, we are asking American women to take an average tampon or a pad, soak it in Heinz ketchup as a statement of support for John and Teresa Heinz. Now, I know...
Boy, you say that's different.
I know it sounds different, and I know a lot of people are going to misinterpret that. But American women and women all over the world, if you think about it, Phil, have probably shed more blood for their countries than anybody. You take it and soak it in Heinz ketchup or some kind of...
Go ahead.
Take and you...
Right. Ms. Gray, I want to ask you, that's a statement that's definitely going to get misinterpreted.
Well, that's why I'm on your program talking about it.
But let's get back to your attitude about Laura Bush being smug and Teresa Heinz being... And by the way, I don't know that Teresa Heinz is still an heiress to the Heinz fortune, is she?
Oh, absolutely she is. And, you know, they play that down, and I think it's so... I think it's like Teresa to be very self-effacing. She doesn't like to shout to the rooftops, oh, I'm Teresa Heinz, and I'm the heiress to millions. She doesn't do that, but yes, they are very, very comfortable because of the wonderful work the Heinz Ketchup Company has done for the years. And so we think the statement, as shocking as it is, we need a shocking statement, because I think John Kerry can still lose this election. But if we all get together and make a statement as women.
But soaking that kind of feminine item with ketchup and taping it to a car antenna is going to be seen as crude and repugnant and unnecessary.
I think it will be, but I also think it is going to get people's attention. And we really have got to do that. Because, as I said, I think John Kerry can still lose this election.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray on the line. We're talking about the difference between the two first ladies. Ms. Gray feels that Teresa Heinz Kerry is really the first lady of choice for most American women because she's a woman who is financially secure, is a woman who has, I guess, made a living herself.
Absolutely.
Didn't she inherit that money?
Well, you know, there's an old saying, Phil, about how there's a great woman behind every great man. Teresa Heinz was responsible, really, for a lot of the development in the Heinz Company. All of the condiments, a lot of these have her mark on them.
And that American women identify with her more than Laura Bush, who you say comes off thinks she's so great and so wonderful because she's married to the president.
She really does. Laura Bush, I spoke with Laura Bush last year. She's likable enough, but you can tell she has this attitude every time she looks at you. You know, I'm married to the president, and you're not. And who needs to keep being reminded of that? There are millions of American women who are married to, for want of a better word, still losers. And we don't need Laura Bush standing there in front of us with her smug, aren't I so great attitude. I'm married to the president and you're not. It's childish. We don't need it at this time in our country.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Your take on the current First Lady and the proposed new First Lady, the current First Lady Laura Bush, the proposed new First Lady Teresa Heinz Kerry. Ms. Gray has given you her take on it, and she's done quite a bit of reporting on this campaign since the very beginning. She is our correspondent in the field. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You flip a phone in a Korean War veteran and you pull back a bloody stump.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Campaign 2004 report with Margaret Gray here on The Phil Hendry Show. Ms. Gray joins us from Sacramento, California. Margaret, we're going to get to a few phone calls here, if you don't mind, but I want to at first just reiterate that you, in the interviews you've done, find that Laura Bush is not as favorably viewed as Therese Hines. They think more Laura Bush is smug. Now, there is the interpretation that Laura Bush is simply a humble woman.
Phil, in the people that I've spoken to, one gets the impression initially that Laura Bush is a humble woman. But when you begin to look past that Texas smile of hers, which I've known a few people from Texas, and I've known them socially, and I've known a few intimately, and I will tell you, people in Texas have a way of disarming you before they pick your pocket, if you will. What I found from the women that I spoke to, Laura Bush thinks she's so great. You know, she stands there, and it's irritating. It's unnerving. Have you ever had a friend that, I don't know if you can relate to this, Phil, like, I've had girlfriends who, well, you know, John and I just bought a boat, you know, what do you think of that? You don't have a boat, I do. And you really, the instinct is to claw their eyes from their skull. That's not my instinct with Laura Bush, but if she keeps staring at me the way she does, and all the American women, we're going to begin to get a little irritated with just how great she thinks she is, and she thinks the rest of us are so less than that.
All right, and you are supporting John Kerry. You like Theresa Hines Kerry.
Absolutely. I think she's a charming woman, and I think he's going to make a great president. And again, she keeps him on a short leash, so I think that's something else women should understand.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Eric, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, I was telling a friend of mine that I think that if we do something as radical as put red tampons on our antennas driving down the road will cause John Kerry to actually lose the election.
Well, I don't know what your thinking is behind that. What I'm trying to do is make women be more vocal in their support of John Kerry.
Well, that's nice, but the problem is Bill Clinton won in 92, and he won at the next term because he's a moderate. And I think that this is a radical movement would actually cause people to turn away from the Democratic Party and grow.
What aspect are you talking about radical? I don't understand.
Well, it's a left-wing radical. That's a radical act, wouldn't you think?
What are you referring to?
He's talking about. Go ahead. Say it, Eric.
The red tampons. That's pretty radical.
Soaking your tampons in Heinz ketchup.
That's a radical movement, and I think it would.
But it doesn't. It doesn't say radical as in left or liberal. It's radical as in we must get John Kerry into the White House, even if it means yes.
I do not believe in a million years that it would come across in that positive stigma.
All right, now that's interesting. Okay, that's interesting. Why do you think that?
Well, first of all, I think it's repulsive, and it would actually have a negative effect on what you're trying to achieve. I think that you're going to have to appeal to, first of all, I do agree with you about Laura Bush. She actually doesn't seem as smug as she does like a goody-goody.
Yeah, she really thinks she's so hot,
But and Hillary Clinton, I think, is actually the ideal type of first lady, and I think she's actually the ideal type of person, a woman, a career-minded woman would
for
America.
But I actually interviewed Hillary Clinton, and there's a little bit of what people say about her. You know that there was a rumor, Phil, about her orientation, sexual, and I could tell the way she looked at me.
All right, I don't even want to get into it.
No, I don't either.
No, but
I want to get back to this whole, you want women to soak feminine napkins in Heinz ketchup and tape them to their antennas and drive down the road as a statement of support. This gentleman's saying it will turn people off of Kerry.
No, I think it's going to get people to pay attention to the Kerry message. Millions of American women with tampons flying from their car antennas soaked in Heinz ketchup is a radical statement, yes. I agree.
I think you're going to turn off all the male Democratic voters by doing that.
I disagree.
All right, listen, Eric, thank you very much for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Kathy, go ahead.
Yes, I'd just like to say that not all women, and I capitalize A-L-L women, are not for Theresa Hines Kerry. And I think Laura Bush is a fantastic lady, a moral lady, and a gracious lady. And they have my vote 110%.
Well, I think that Laura Bush comes off that way. I agree with you, Kathy. I think that she is very good at getting women like such as yourself or whoever to believe that. But I'm a little bit, excuse me, I'm a little bit different. I've been a journalist for 30 years. Just look at her. You've had girlfriends like this. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, look at me. Look at me.
I've got a mother that is gracious like her. I can see her the way she is, as a wonderful Christian lady and a wonderful supporter of her husband who keeps her mouth shut when the time is right to keep her mouth shut. And you can't say she doesn't have a backbone because she doesn't show it in public because she has grace.
No, I didn't say she doesn't have a backbone. If anything, I'd say the opposite. I'd say, don't you have girlfriends? You know, they got a brand new Cadillac. Oh, don't you think I'm better than you? That's what she's saying. She's better than you and me.
I have to disagree
with
that.
She's married to the president, and she thinks she's all that and a bag of chips. And I'm saying women such as yourself, Kathy, women such as myself, on November the 2nd, the feminine napkin statement, I think, is one that we can make and make forcefully.
Well, you know what? I'm old-fashioned. I like my husband to open the door for me. I'm teaching my sons to open the door for women. I like my we walk on the inside of the curb. We don't walk on the outside. I think that's old-fashioned. I think it's respectful, and I think it's gracious and nice.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, Kathy. I mean, I still walk onto the other side of my wife on the street side. You know.
Well, all of that is really nice, but I'm talking about the feminine napkin statement. I want to know where Kathy stands on that.
On the what statement, I'm sorry?
On the feminine napkin idea that we had for the Kerry campaign.
I don't agree with the Kerry campaign at all. I think Lisa Hines Kerry opens her mouth too much, and I don't even like to speak like this. I think she'd be a disgrace as a first lady.
I agree. I think the woman is...
You know something? You don't know her the way I know.
No, I agree. I think that outburst in public against her husband was embarrassing. He showed himself to be almost... on a leash. Boy, you talk about a guy being on a leash. I bet you she reads in the Riot Act. And I don't think there's anything charming about the woman. And for you to fly, this is what she wanted to do, Kathy, soak tampons in Heinz ketchup and fly them from car antennas.
Yeah. I'm not catching anything on my antenna, except for a campaign.
All right, then you go ahead and vote for Laura Bush, and every day for the next 4 years, you'll look at her as she comes on TV and says, basically, hi, Kathy, I'm Laura Bush. I'm married to the president, and you're married to a loser.
She doesn't say that.
Not I don't.
I'm married to a loser.
Yeah, I don't.
Is that what you're saying?
No.
I would love to meet with you right here, right now, and you can see how gracious and wonderful my husband is.
But you know that compared to Laura Bush, you are married to a loser. She's married to the president, for God's sake.
All right, look, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Laura Bush or Teresa Heinz. Margaret says Laura Bush comes off as smug. It's Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
A little bit of a conversation off here with Margaret Gray. It's our Campaign 2004 report. The idea of soaking a feminine napkin in Heinz ketchup and then duct taping it to the car antenna is a statement to say the women of America are bleeding.
Well, there's this attitude that only the soldiers in Iraq are the ones who are shedding blood, and I certainly honor their service. But I'm voting for Teresa Heinz. I'm voting for John Kerry because I'm a great admirer of Teresa Heinz. And in our way, women, all women, have given of themselves. It's not real blood. It's Heinz ketchup, which makes it all the more meaningful.
How are people going to know if you're driving down the street with this red napkin on the... I mean, the whole thing is in my opinion...
Well, you know something, Phil? I love you, and I appreciate you, and you and I have known each other for a long time. I'd really like to talk to women about this. I don't think it's a subject that men really are qualified to attack.
About the first ladies?
About the first ladies and our feminine napkin statement.
1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray believes Laura Bush comes off as smug and thinks she's so much better than everybody else, and Teresa Heinz is down to earth and... And she's a big supporter. Here is Pat on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Pat.
I would like to say that I think you're going to be putting out the wrong statement, that it's going to be showing that if you vote for Kerry, you're going to shed more blood.
No, not at all. What it means is John Kerry appreciates women.
I know what you think it means. I'm saying what I think it means. if I would
well,
see
well,
it.
Yours isn't logical, though. Yours
well,
isn't
yes.
logical. Because
and
my,
I'm,
in other words,
ma'am,
my cycle is going to happen 3 times a month instead of one. I don't understand what you're saying.
I am voting...
Oh, God. Can we get off this topic, if you don't mind? Can't we stick to the first...
Phil, I really want to talk
I'm
to
voting...
Women.
Excuse me. I'm voting for...
I want
for,
to talk to women, not to men. Go ahead, Pat.
I am voting for a man for president.
Now,
I'm not voting for his first lady.
Who do you? Who are you voting for first lady, though?
I'm a Democrat. And I'm voting,
so
for,
voting for
Bush.
You're voting for Teresa Hines-Carey.
Yeah, me too.
I'm voting for Bush.
Me too, Pat.
Oh, I would ask the host... to please not interrupt while I'm talking to this woman.
I just said I'm agreeing with, I'm a Democrat, and I'm voting for Bush.
Well, I think that's a tragedy. I think that is lower than low. How can you stoop that low?
I think if Kerry gets elected, that we're just going to be inviting the terrorists more into our country. Bush is keeping them out, and I don't care that much for Bush.
How can the two of you, being Democrats, stoop so low as to swim in the sewer of switching parties and voting for Bush? Especially when we've got...
Excuse me, ma'am. Bush is protecting our country. I don't think Kerry will.
Kerry can't protect the country. Kerry doesn't even have anything that he's saying these days. He has no statement. You know, the only statement he's going to have is you and your girlfriends flying ketchup-soaked tampons from your car antennas.
You know what really I think is appalling is the way that you talk down to me. Teresa Hines-Carey, if John Kerry's elected, won't let men talk to her that way anymore.
Won't let men talk to her that way?
Yes. See, Teresa Hines is a woman who will scream out loud, take your paws off of me. Take your hands off my breasts. Take your hands off my rear end. I'm a woman, G.D. it.
I'm voting for the man. I'm not voting for the First Lady.
Will you join us in our feminine napkin protest?
If I do, I'll display a banner on my car saying... that I'm flying this napkin because Kerry's going to shed more blood.
All right, but you would soak a napkin in Heinz ketchup and fly from your antenna.
I would do it, and I would put a banner on saying if he's elected, we will shed more blood, and women and men and children in our country
All
will
right,
be attacked
you
again.
You have to put up a sign to explain it, then.
All right, look at Margaret. Obviously, the woman is against your idea. Thank you very much, Pat. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Lisa. Go ahead, Lisa. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, Phil.
Hi, Lisa.
Pardon me.
Right.
I think that idea of the feminine napkin thing is absolutely disgusting. And as far as I'm concerned, Laura Bush is a lady, and she is a true lady.
Well, I don't doubt that she's a lady, but she looks at you and I, Lisa, as if to say, my husband's president.
You know what? My husband's a Marine. And he wouldn't take a Purple Heart unless his arm was cut off.
That's not as good as the president.
Yes, it is.
How do you figure being
Yes, it is.
Wait a minute. The president's the commander-in-chief. Your husband is whatever he's doing. What is he doing?
He's in Iraq.
The man's fighting for his country in Iraq.
Well, fighting for one's country in Iraq, I think, is relative. I think we can
Of course it's relative to you.
Yeah, it's relative to you because, you know, look at the Democratic...
And this blood that's being spilled and the feminine napkin thing, I would not waste the cotton on Teresa Hines-Carey. She is a very crass woman.
How do you figure she's crass? You don't think Laura Bush stares at you as if to say, hey, Lisa, your husband's a grunt. My husband's president. Why don't you suck on that?
And you know what?
Oh, she doesn't
and you know
say
what?
That.
My husband proudly salutes his commander-in-chief, as do I.
You know, Margaret, if I could, everything that Laura Bush has ever said is great. Is very humble. It's very...
Oh, sure, to you and me, but what do you think she says behind closed doors?
And what do you think Teresa Hines-Carey says behind closed doors?
Teresa Hines-Carey's probably screaming at her husband, bitching him out for, like, you know, not picking his underwear up.
So in other words, you say John Kerry is being held on a leash.
Yeah.
That's what you just said.
You just said he's being held on a very tight
you
leash.
You said she kept him on a very tight leash.
No, I kept him on a tight leash financially. She gives him an allowance, but you don't think he's his own man?
No, I don't. I think with that woman, and the other thing is the way she behaved in public, and...
Well, forget about all of this. We are soaking
that... forget about all of that, but that's what we're talking about. We are talking about the first ladies. We have one who is a first lady, who is very much a lady, and she's very humble, and she's a very caring woman. And then on the other hand, we have this screeching shrew that I certainly would not want.
How dare you?
How dare I? I've heard her do it.
Would you rather have a leader that makes apple pies or rides a Harley?
Who cares?
Who cares?
Gives a crap if the guy rides
Harley.
A Harley.
My dad rode a Harley.
Well, by your, what are you intimating? He molested you?
All right, now the lady didn't say that, and let's not get personal, okay?
Well, what is she talking about? Look at Lisa. Take any old napkin, soak it in Heinz ketchup.
Forget it.
I won't even buy Heinz ketchup anymore because I think she is just a disgusting representative of the Heinz family. And Senator Heinz was a very respected man in my hometown. And I grew up with the Heinzes.
You know what puts you off is the German accent. If you just got past that.
I am Irish.
If you could turn the sound down on the TV when she talks, I think you'd find her to be very charming. Did you switch to Del Monte ketchup? Is that what you're saying? Because I think that's low. Huh? I think it's low.
Low what? Switching to Del Monte?
Absolutely. Well, she can laugh if she wants to. You know what? Go ahead. But you'll feel very foolish when I drive by with a feminine napkin taped to my antenna.
I think you're the one that's going to feel foolish.
Shit,
because
yeah.
The only thing I'm going to tape to my antenna is a flag, an American flag.
You know what? Never mind. Why don't you just go straight to the puree matter?
What did she say? She hang up? I'm told my engineer tells me she hung up. Lisa, thank you very much for your call.
I'm sorry for making your guest hang up.
Well, you can. It's the end of the segment. Anyway, I don't care. And the woman, you know, I'll be interested to see.
That is just so crass and so...
Well, I mean, the idea, you know, is that Carrie, and she's acknowledging, Carrie needs a big boost. The guy is losing... You know, if this guy's got any credibility with the American people, it's shocking to me. It's stunningly shocking. The only credibility he has is that he is anti-Bush. That's what the Democratic Party is representing. It's an anti-Bush.
It's a smear campaign.
Hold on.
It is a complete anti-Bush campaign.
Yeah, but we'll see whether... Hold on for a minute. Ms. Gray, if you hang up on me, you can't call back.
I want to know whether she's going to soak a tampon...
She said she's not going to, okay?
Bitch.
What did she say?
Bitch.
Great. Lisa, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And many thanks to your husband, serving the USMC in Iraq. I talked to a Marine over the weekend who came back from Fallujah. He said the people in Fallujah were wonderful to him and to the other soldiers.
And that is what my husband told me his first tour over there.
Right, yeah. So this, you know, we just have to keep saying it. And so, you know, this idiotic message that's being sent is shown up for what it is, just a load of hooey. 1-800-44. Thank you very much, Lisa. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. That is Margaret Gray's campaign 2004 report, and we are going to certainly be looking forward to hearing more reporting from her next week. Coming up, we're going to have Steve Bozell on. I told her not to. What do you want?
Beefcake.
Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Greg, I got another phone call for you.
Well, at this particular point, I don't know why I'm even letting myself in for the abuse, because since I've been on your program, Mr. Henry, it has been 50 minutes of sexist, misogynistic abuse, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it.
Ms. Gray, we can go on.
I'll take her call.
All right, here is Margie. Go ahead, Margie.
Yes, Miss Gray, it's very sad that you have the one-sided opinion, because you are making us sick also, and you don't realize that. You remind me very much of the lady that was going out of a building, and this man opened the door for her, and she was very, very angry, and she said to him, "Don't open the door for me, because I'm a lady," and he said to her, "Ma'am, I am not opening the door for you because you're a lady. I am opening the door for you because I am a gentleman." And it's very unfair that you think that we all agree with you.
Don't think that I
understand. We all don't agree with you, Miss Gray.
What man, what woman would allow a man to, what kind of animal opens the door for what? In other words, what I'm trying to say to all
women. Let me tell you, only a smart woman would do that, because a smart woman knows where she stands, knows who she is. And I think it's wonderful. If I am married, and if I am putting a nail on the wall, and my husband came to me and said, "Hon, let me put that nail on the wall," do you think I'm going to say to him, "Well, I can do it myself"? No. I know I can do it myself, but he is nice enough to come and help me. Well, I am going to let him do it because I am a lady.
Margie,
and I
now,
know
wait a minute.
Gentleman.
I want to make a point
and
here.
And let me tell you something.
What woman, my husband the other day opened the door for me, and I said to him, "You filthy bastard, trying to demean me in that way." I put him in his place.
No,
well, you called your husband.
That's the frame of mind, and that's the way you think.
So why am I talking this way?
That your husband is a gentleman, and you don't even see it.
May I ask you a question? Do you use feminine products? Yes or no?
Do I use what?
Feminine products, yes or no?
I use the ones that I need to
Margie,
use as a
Margie,
woman.
Margie,
I don't need to use all feminine products.
You don't have to answer that question, Margie. It's highly personal.
I think that this lady is a very sick woman.
Why are you talking? I'm talking about soaking the tampons in ketchup. What's the question
about
that?
No, you know what?
Oh,
Teresa,
God.
Teresa Heinz Ketchup. No, I don't like her because she's very arrogant.
Arrogant?
I mean, she was so smart.
Look, she is a tough broad in a
lady,
world full of men.
Let me tell you something. There are many of us, and I'm a Spanish lady, and let me tell you something. We are not stupid. We got her picture, and we're not voting for Terry because of his wife, okay?
John Kerry is going to lead this country out of the miasma of Iraq and save us from ourselves.
Are you kidding? You got blinds on.
Yeah, you are freaking high if you think that's going to happen.
Oh, so
you
now you're accusing me of drug use.
You, lady.
You know what, ma'am? Yeah, I'm not accusing you of drug use, Margaret, but for to say that you want to scotch tape a tampon to the antenna of your car soaked in Heinz ketchup.
He is making me throw up. You're not speaking for us women. Let me tell you.
Now, wait a second. You know, Margie, you know what you look like to me with your good bag and your bad shoes? You look like a rube. A well-scrubbed hustling rube. Good nutrition.
Get out of here with your speech.
Oh, would you stop it? Let me tell you something. If you're such a Democrat, go and listen to Maria. There's no other Democrat bigger than Maria Shriver. And you know what Maria Shriver was taught by her father? That when she walks into a room,
she is very special.
Okay?
I got to change the tank on Frank's chair.
You are a sick lady.
Maria Shriver, Chuckle the Clown.
Maria Shriver, Chuckle the Clown, Soupy Sales.
No. Soupy Sales and MCC of Los Angeles, then Ted Kennedy and Reverend Scott Peterson. La Rouvre of Rivier Canada.
Daisy Duke.
No, I'm not Daisy Duke. I'm John Schneider.
Tony Montana, David Hasselhoff.
David Hasselhoff, Dan Rather. Michael Landon.
Gene Stapleton.
Tony Danza. Richard Simmons, Danza. Dan Rather. B. Arthur. body got a deed of all the color of heat and the island. Mandarin to Sydney, Mocha and Nell Carter.
It's a good to Sicily, La Turinette and Mark Spitz, Rudy Valley.
Rudy Valley, Borga de Sino Doro, Glenn Miller, Bolivia, Rudy Valley, Glenn Miller, Rudy Valley, Glenn Miller, Woody Herman. The Osmonds from Inglaterra.
Into Cotos of a Tita, level two today.
Larunon, the Ritiga Revin, Rahuri Viganta, Ora Cinco, Barra Dos.
Manolo, Icaratis in Abamontre de Nulelenium, Gary Coleman.
Hello, I'm Gary Coleman.
Lonondorir Gary Coleman.
I'm just here because the cat said, come on in and rap, and so I don't know what's going on.
La nondoro shushin of these, sa sendere violonta.
So, I'm going to split now.
Lo nondore galanta ya fata.
La nondore ye, get him a del torrondo, he get him a del torrondo, arra Edgar Bergen. Joyce DeWitt, Perry Williams, Joyce DeWitt, Alderman, Perry Williams, Joyce DeWitt, Alderman, Gary Coleman. Phil Hendry Show!
Jackass!
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, going straight to the hot place. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, listen, the crowd is still there. Tomorrow night we have, of course, Wednesday night, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Mr. Santos will be talking with us tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock. On Thursday night, Bobby and Steve Dooley of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Friday night, it's Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Don't forget, October the 1st, we broadcast live from Salt Lake City. Our next guest is Mr. Stephen Bozell. Mr. Bozell is a private citizen from Corona, California, and he is contemplating or filing a lawsuit on behalf of Kerry supporters. And this is one that you have undertaken with, in consultation with your attorney, I understand, Mr. Bozell, correct? Mr. Bozell?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
And you are also going to be, I believe, appearing on a number of talk shows in New York in the coming weeks to talk about what you think is how the fact that Kerry supporters are unfairly castigated and people who are opposed to the war in Iraq are unfairly castigated.
Well, that is true, Phil, and if I could mention, this all really started because I am a great admirer, and I suppose this probably is a hot button for a lot of people, but I'm a great admirer of Sean Penn, the film actor.
Uh-huh.
If you have seen Mr. Penn's films, he's a man who's very hard-edged. You can tell he knows how to take care of himself. He does not strike me as the kind of guy who's going to take any, you know, any stuff from anybody. The lawsuit was really the culmination of a great many months observing people who are in support of Senator Kerry, and what we've had to endure. Last week, I was at work arguing politics with a gentleman by the name of Mr. Cliff Pettigrew, who is a member of my crew, is actually a supervisor, and he is a supporter of George Bush, and I support John Kerry. Sean Penn was at the Toronto Film Festival, and I mentioned Mr. Penn and Mr. Pettigrew as a man. And
Do you mind me asking why?
Because right now things are going way too fast, and I'm understandably, I think, concerned about fighting terrorists because there's a lot of different other enemies we've had, and we've antagonized terrorists to the point now they're not worse, and I think we're all concerned that we don't make the wrong move and antagonize them. And I think Mr. Penn has, you know, articulated that very well in a lot of the stuff that he has said.
Okay.
So I've seen Sean Penn on TV, and I told Mr. Pettigrew that Sean Penn was an example, in my opinion, of an American who is going to vote for John Kerry because he knows that the terrorists are being aggravated by Mr. Bush and would strike again. And I'm sure that has a lot of people worried. President Bush is all he's doing is sticking a stick in a lion's cage and making them madder and madder and madder and madder until they're way too mad. and 10 strike out. So it's Thursday afternoon on September the 9th. Mr. Pettigrew responded with a pejorative phrase.
All right, now I understand you and he are arguing politics. You brought up Sean Penn as an example of a good American.
That is correct.
And you are wary of saying the word, but it's all right. We're using the word, I want my listeners to know, we're using the word in the context of courage or lack thereof. What was the phrase?
Well, he had said at that time, and it was very childish of him, but Mr. Pettigrew said anyone that would vote for John Kerry is a pussy.
Okay.
And I was very taken aback by this. And I thought, well, okay. And I said to him, I said, I can understand if you want to call me a pussy, but are you actually saying that you think Sean Penn is a pussy? And he responded, and I have it in the notes that I took after I spoke with my attorney. He said, quote, absolutely, I think he is. And then I said to him, and again, I'm quoting from notes that I took after the fact. I said, you've seen all his movies. You know what he's capable of. You have to at least admit, if you think Sean Penn is a pussy, then you have to admit that he could at least, and I said, he could at least kick your ass.
Okay.
And he responded, no, he couldn't. And Cliff said to me he would beat on Sean Penn till he bled from every blank, and I don't want to say the word.
All right.
So it was at that time I asked Mr. Pettigrew to put away his animosity to me and his, put away his animosity to John Kerry and to simply answer me honestly. Didn't he think Sean Penn had at least a chance to kick his ass? And he repeated, the line he said was, quote, I beat Sean Penn's ass, and I beat his brother's and his father's, too. Now, understand, he claimed he could beat Chris Penn's ass, who was in Reservoir Dogs and all, and many, many other wonderful movies. And I was frustrated because...
All right, let me interrupt you here. This guy's talking about beating Sean Penn?
No, I simply asked him if he thinks Sean Penn is such a you-know-what for voting for John Kerry. Wouldn't he at least admit that Sean Penn had a chance of beating his ass?
All right. You were trying to get this guy to admit that Sean Penn, for all of his faults, could beat him up.
That is correct, yeah.
Okay, now let me ask you, how does this hurt you?
Well, he essentially called me a pussy, and anyone that would vote for Kerry a pussy, and then he would not admit that there was even a remote chance that Sean Penn could beat his ass. And Sean Penn's a very substantial man. He's been in fights and everything. And the bottom line is he wouldn't even give me the admission that there's a possibility that Sean Penn, you know, could beat his ass in a fight. In other words, Mr. Hendry, all I was looking for was him to just give me something, just a little bit. He'd already called me a pussy. And I was asking him if he would just at least admit that there was a possibility that Sean Penn could beat his ass.
Okay.
And I said to him, would you admit that there's at least, I think I said there's a 0.00005 chance that Sean Penn could beat his ass. And all he said, I'll never forget it as long as I live. He stood there with his arms folded. He said, no, I will not.
All right, your lawsuit claims defamation of character.
Yes, sir.
Why?
There are millions of people who will vote for John Kerry, Mr. Hendry, and for Mr. Pettigrew to say that there's no way that Sean Penn, a prominent supporter of John Kerry, could kick his ass, and also say that anyone who votes for John Kerry's a pussy is a defamation of character and publicly spoken slander.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Stephen Bozell has taken the unusual step of filing a lawsuit on behalf of Kerry supporters. All emanating really from a conversation, a workplace argument, if you will, about politics, and we've certainly had these in our experience, where you are a Kerry supporter, Mr. Bozell, Mr. Pettigrew is a Bush supporter, and Mr. Penn is a Kerry supporter. You said, Mr. Pettigrew, won't you at least admit that Sean Penn could kick your A-word?
Yes, sir. And he said, no, no, no. And I said, won't you please just give me... And I would never even contemplate the lawsuit. And I would not even think about it if he would just give me the satisfaction, if he'd just say there's a possibility that Sean Penn could kick his ass, and he would never say it. And that's what led me to contact my attorney, who's Dolores Blasingame in Riverside, California, and she did at that time ask me for my notes.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Have John Kerry's supporters been denigrated too much? Have they been denigrated to the extent that their masculinity is questioned? Have John Kerry supporters been denigrated to the point where it's unfair, unfairly characterizing their masculinity, unfairly characterizing their ability to duke it out, unfairly, you know, using that P word, as you said? And again, I want to make it very clear, the word that we're using is in the context of courage or the lack thereof. Why, Mr. Bozell, why would you file the lawsuit now, this lawsuit?
Well, I think if we don't take a stand now against what George Bush is doing, then the chance will never come again. and we'll get bullied and bullied, and they'll keep on bullying me and everything.
And the idea that Sean Penn could kick Mr. Pettigrew's ass is important. Why?
All I wanted was the admission out of Mr. Pettigrew that even there was the slightest chance that Sean Penn could kick his ass. And I even said it in front of Ms. Dahlgren, who's our executive secretary. I said to Cliff, isn't there even a .0005 or something like that chance that Sean Penn could kick your ass? And he just sat there with his arms crossed, like I said, intentionally antagonizing me, just shaking his head and saying, no, no way, no way, no way, no way. And, of course, I can't ever prove it, because when is there ever going to be the chance, you know, for Sean Penn to kick his ass? So,
and it was at that time you got frustrated, and you say in your statement here to the court, you left the office?
Yes, that is correct.
And what did you do?
I was very frustrated. He wouldn't even give me that much, not even the slightest chance. I was so angry and so frustrated and so outraged that this man, who is my construction foreman, I want to point out, and so outraged that this man who works for me openly tells me he's voting for Bush and that there's no way Sean Penn could even beat his ass, not even the slimmest chance.
And what are you hoping to accomplish with this lawsuit?
Well, I'm hoping the American people will finally stand up. The people who support John Kerry will finally stand up to these bullies who are voting for George Bush and are always calling us pussies and all this for not voting for George Bush, and just for that man to not even allow for the slightest chance that he could get his ass kicked by Sean Penn. I mean, that was him purposely trying to make me frustrated and defamed, and I was defamed all over the place by him.
All right, and I understand that you are at your home right now?
Yes, sir.
I'm hearing running water?
It's a small stream that we have that runs out on the south end of our property. It's just a place I come to just kind of try to collect my thoughts and think about things. It's just where I brought my cell phone out.
All right, sir, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. This man is filing a lawsuit claiming that people who support John Kerry have been unfairly characterized and unfairly attacked as being cowards. The P word, if you will, that they are people who have no backbone, that they're people that can't go out and kick a little ass, I guess is the word. And this all emanates, as I mentioned, from a workplace argument involving the man Sean Penn, the actor, and Mr. Bozell, who you just heard, was talking with one of his workers who was a Bush supporter, and he said, well, you may think we're all sissies, but don't you at least think Sean Penn has the possibility of kicking your ass, and this gentleman, Mr. Pettigrew, would not admit to even the slightest chance that Sean Penn could kick his ass. Mr. Bozell is filing a lawsuit. There is a, you know, when these lawsuits are first announced, they got to put a dollar amount on it. So this one is $50,000, but say not, you know, nothing under $50,000, so it could exceed it even more. Do you think Kerry supporters have been unfairly castigated as cowards? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Whenever you think of someone with hair, think of me, Bob Green.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
I'm speaking with Stephen Bozell. He's a private citizen, a construction contractor from Corona, California, who has filed a lawsuit in defense of Kerry supporters. It springs from his belief and his experience, he says, that Kerry supporters have been unfairly characterized as cowards, or the word you used, because you were called that, sir, pussies. I want to ask you before we get to some phone calls, Mr. Bozell. You were called a quote pussy by this Mr. Pettigrew, who is a coworker, and he went on to say that you couldn't get him to admit that Sean Penn, who is very anti-Bush, could kick his ass, so to speak. Let me ask you that: why do you think Kerry supporters are characterized this way?
And I am a Kerry supporter, Mr. Henry.
No, I know that. Why do you think they're characterized this way as cowards, if that is in fact the case?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I know that people that support John Kerry understand that President Bush has gone out and he's made the terrorists even more madder than they was when they attacked us on 9/11. Now he's made it all, it's worse than it's ever been now. And if we get Senator Kerry in there, He will it'll send a message to the terrorists that we don't want them to attack us no more, and that'll help. But then he turns around, Mr. Pettigrew, and calls me a pussy. And he says everybody that did.
Well, did he make one of these large braggadocio statements? Oh, you guys that vote for Kerry, you're all a bunch of pussies.
Well, no, he just said, man, you sound like a pussy to me, and Sean Penn's a pussy. And I said, if you think Sean Penn is such a pussy, you have to admit, there's a chance he could kick your ass. And he said, no, there's not a chance in hell Sean Penn could ever kick my ass. And I said, just admit that there's a slim chance. He said, no way. I said, please, please, at least give me the satisfaction, because I'm willing to accept that you called me a pussy, that's fine. But can't you at least give me that much? That Sean Penn has even a small...
You said like a .005 or...
Well, I put a stupid decimal point on it. Just a little chance of kicking your ass. He goes, no way. And I said, man, that's over the line, because now you just think everybody that's votes for Kerry is just a meaningless little pussy and couldn't kick ass on anybody.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Kerry, as in C-A-R-R-I-E. Hi, Kerry, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
You.
Yes, good, ma'am. Going to try to get her back. Here is RJ. RJ, go ahead.
Yeah, this guy, I'm a Kerry supporter as well.
Yes,
this
sir.
This guy is giving all Kerry supporters a bad name by coming out with this frivolous lawsuit, and I hope that he doesn't come after me and sue me for defamation of character after I say this. He's giving all of us a bad name by stating in this frivolous lawsuit that basically he has no idea what any of the three branches of government are. It has no relevance at all.
What are you talking about? The three branches of government, I know all about them.
Okay, then why are you having a frivolous lawsuit against...
Do you know what the three branches of government are?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what are they?
You've got your judicial.
What, you got to look it up?
Is the caller there? Okay, Chris, get... a little control over these phone calls, will you? 1-800-440, or maybe I lost it, I don't know. What are the three branches of government?
You're asking me?
Yes, sir.
I asked him if he knew what the three branches of government were.
No, but you told him you knew what they were.
Yes, sir. They are the judicial branch. I do know, but I wanted to know if he knew. They are the judicial branch, they're the federal branch, and then that's in the state level.
Are the three branches of government?
Yes, sir. The judicial branch is the courts. The federal branch is the government in Washington, and the state level is the states. But that's not why I'm on your program. I'm on your program to talk about the castigation of Kerry supporters.
Well, look, this is going to happen in elections. People are going to call each other names. There's been an awful lot of name calling in this election, and I don't doubt that it'll continue. It's a very contentious election. It's a very important election. People are seeing this as a very pivotal thing. If the guy is calling you a pussy, you might say to him, you know, in the workplace, I would rather this discussion not take place, unless, of course, this was a discussion that you had after work hours.
Well, it did. It isn't so much that he called me that. It's that it's not just at work. My wife, you know, who is a very big George Bush supporter, has basically said, my own wife, which is very painful, has basically said, you're nothing but a pussy.
Because you're voting for Kerry?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you and your wife have a difference of opinion in terms of politics. And maybe your kids and you will have a difference of opinion in terms of politics. But that's what makes the world go around. And the fact that you're voting for John Kerry doesn't necessarily make you a pussy just because somebody calls you that.
Well, it may not, but this has been going on far too long. And I can tell you that I'm going to file a lawsuit, and the next person that calls me a pussy because I'm voting for John Kerry will be the subject of this lawsuit. That's all there is to it. Because, and I told Mr. Pettigrew, if he doesn't think that Sean Penn could kick his ass, then he's just unfairly making me madder and madder. Because he knows full well Sean Penn at least has a small chance of kicking his ass. I've seen every movie that Sean Penn has been in. He has been outstanding in every movie he's ever been in. And also, he plays guys go out and kick ass all the time. So to say that Sean Penn doesn't even have a remote chance...
Well, the guy that Sean Penn plays in the movies and the guy that he is in real life...
Yeah, but when he was in real... If I could just interrupt you, Mr. Henry.
Go ahead.
In real life, he kicked ass on a guy in Shanghai or something. I forget what it was.
Wait a minute. You mean when he was married to Madonna?
Yes, sir.
No, she was in a movie called Shanghai Surprise. Or Suddenly Susan, or some crap like that. and the photographer wouldn't leave the family alone.
Well, right, and so he kicked his ass. And
I don't think kicking a photographer's ass is a big thing. I mean, it's different between, you know, that and going out and duking it out with some construction foreman someplace in a barroom. But the point is...
No, the
point is the cat that he plays in movies, the character he plays in movies, is different from the guy that he is. And what difference does it make whether Mr. Pettigrew admits that Sean Penn could kick his ass or not? It doesn't make any difference. I mean, the fact is...
I just wanted the satisfaction of him saying there is a slim chance Sean Penn could kick his ass.
And he won't give you that satisfaction. And so you're suing him.
That's right, because he's saying, you're a pussy, Sean Penn is too, and Sean Penn can't even kick my ass. So there's nowhere you can turn to. There's nobody you can turn to.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Stephen Bozell suing... I don't know who he's suing. I guess he's suing Mr. Pettigrew for being called a pussy and for Mr. Pettigrew not admitting that Sean Penn could possibly kick his ass. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Stepping over the line. Naked.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hello, everybody. I'm Comb Over Boy. This is a different kind of talk radio show. Not hosted by a right-wing wagon. I am your host. Whatever that means. I'm Comb Over Boy. This is why I call myself Comb Over Boy, you know, is because of the fact that I try to come off as very young and hip. And many of you who listen to my program know that I try to come off as very young and hip with the fact that I'm going bald. And so I've taken the hair from the back of my head and combed it forward until Phil Hendry started pointing it out on the air, and now I've just cut it off really short, and I look like a version of Phil Hendry. I tell you what I really want to talk about today... on the show. Now I get comfortable with it. Because, you know, we talk about the issues that you really care about. Now, our topic for today is how sexually excited I get when I drive by senior citizen centers. Now, I know a lot of you out there, you know, I'm very honest. You know, on this program, we're very young. I got a lot of young listeners, because I talk about things that you really care about, and I'm talking about how I get turned on driving by retirement homes, especially when I see those old people coming out of their walkers. Now, let me just tell you this. I never knew that I'd get turned on by old people until I began to draw the correlation between what Kobe Bryant did to that girl in that motel room and how they bend over those walkers. But I got to tell you, it's great. And so here's what I do. I stopped at that old folks home the other day at the tribal center. And I said to the lad, well, how you doing? And one thing led to another. We were having sex. And it was exciting. I can tell you it was exciting the way, well, the hair comes off, the teeth come out. You know what I'm talking about. And, let me get your feelings about that. All I got to do is give me a call here, 1-800-LOUD-AND-UNTALENTED. That's 1-800-LOUD-AND-UNTALENTED. Hey, how you doing?
How you doing, Comb-Over Boy?
Do you care?
Oh, Jesus, get a new line, will you?
What can I do for you, sir?
Well, I had sex with an older woman one time as my teacher, but I was like 16 and she was 22. Are you talking about
Like, really?
No. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about really old people. You know, I'm talking about the topics that you really care about. Well, I'm talking about having sex with really old people. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, you're a pervert.
Ah, give us a call here. 1-800, I'm loud and untalented and unoriginal. 1-800, loud and untalented and unoriginal. Hey, go ahead. You're on the Comb-Over Voice Show. How you doing?
Oh, hi, Comb-Over.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Do you care?
Man, the first time I heard that, it was a riot. And now for the 858th time, it's still
not funny.
Alright, 1-800-LOUD-UNTALENTED. We'll be right back, but I want to get your feelings on this whole idea about having sex with people over the age of 80, especially if they're incapacitated. I think it's exciting. And at our next broadcast from Seattle, where I can pay another guy to kick my ass, I can hopefully be safe from someone kicking my ass. You know what we're going to do? We're going to get a whole bunch of old ladies in there to dance nude from the waist up, topless. How do you like that? A bunch of 80 old ladies, topless. That's going to be exciting, because I know what my listeners want, all right? 1-800-LOUD-UNTALENTED, 1-800-LOUD-UNTALENTED, 1-800-LOUD, obnoxious, stupid, and untalented, and unoriginal. Just because I got the same agent as Phil Henry doesn't mean I like Phil Henry. In fact, I hate him. I hate him. This is the Comb-Over Boy Show.
We'll be back with the Comb-Over Boys Show and more posing with loud rock and roll music and unsubstantial and unfunny material in just a moment. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show.
All right, we're back on the Comb-Over Boys Show. I see, go ahead, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Comb-Over. Great show as always. One time I was coming on to this old broad at the museum on a field trip, and then I realized she was a mummy. It was pretty good.
That's what I'm talking about.
The Comb-Over Boys Show will be right back on the Phil Henry Radio Network.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hey, tomorrow night we got Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley. Oh, no, tomorrow night we got Jay Santos, Bobby and Steve Dooley coming up on Thursday night. And the great Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills on Friday night. And we had Steve Bozell on this hour. He's, of course, selling his T-shirt on our website. Steve Bozell for president. Vote for me or I'll sue you. It is selling like, it's selling like there's no more T-shirts to sell. It's selling like there is a... that there is a dearth of T-shirts, and, like, people have got nothing to wear. So you might want to get a copy or a piece or a particle of Steve's stuff before the election takes place, because then there won't be no more. And we also have on our website the 2003 Best Of CD, The Death of Talk Radio. Our new CD will be coming out, our Best Of the 2004 CD. It'll have two CDs, one with our best phone calls, the other with our best skits, for want of a better description. Our new CD called... Fahrenheit 7-Eleven, the Best of the Phil Henry Show, 2004. That's all happening, man, very, very shortly. 1-800-449-8686, just running through some news here now as we do at odd points throughout our show. Amnesty International claims that racial profiling is on the rise in the United States. They say that authorities are targeting people because of their racial background or religious affiliation, and it's a deep-rooted problem with nearly 32 million people reporting they've been racially profiled, according to a human rights group, Amnesty International. The report said at least 87 million people, one in three in the United States, are at high risk of being victimized because they belong to a racial, ethnic, or religious group. Racial profiling is a growing problem as the government has expanded its war on terror, the report said. This is one of those news stories where we used to have a feature called How to Read a News Story. See... it isn't saying that it's on the rise. It's saying that there are more people at risk. It said that 32 million people reported they'd been racially profiled. That doesn't mean they were. That means they reported they were racially profiled. And then it goes on to say at least 87 million people are at the risk of being racially profiled. And then it goes on to say that it's a growing problem as the government expands its war on terror. So there's no real statement of fact that more and more and more people are being racially profiled. What's saying is there's more people at risk, and there's a bunch of people reporting it. Well, okay. I'd like to complain at this particular time that I am being unfairly subjected to the high cost of watching National Football League games on Sunday. DirecTV's charging me a usurious rate. How much is that, Phil? $150 a year. Sounds fair to me. Well, I'm reporting that it's I'm being screwed. So it is a matter of opinion. The other thing that I think is interesting about racial profiling, so let's say that we've got a racial profiling problem in the United States. Have you ever been to another country? Anybody out there lived in other countries or visited other countries, especially Europe? You won't believe when you go to a place like France or Germany or Britain, as much as I love the British, the unbelievable level of racial intolerance in those countries. Canada. Now, nobody looks at the Amnesty International file on Canada because it's a small, little, tiny country, and everybody figures, well, they can't really get in anybody's crap, right? Right? Well, think again. Canadian cops were cited by Amnesty International as being particularly abusive to native, or what they call native people up there. We call them Native Americans. They just call them natives. Because I guess that would be unfairly profiling them. They stick them in the trunks of cars. I've had friends of mine who are Native American, and this is really weird. I got a friend of mine who's a Native American comic, okay? He's a comic, he's a comedian, and he's a Native American. And he said, working in Canadian clubs, especially up in those prairie towns, is the worst experience of his life. You got black people in Germany who are looked at as if they're monkeys. And in Britain, if you travel, talk to the average white cab driver in Britain, and my God, you've never heard a white cab driver in America talk that way. So if it's bad here, man, it must be like freaking Alabama 1963 over there. But there ain't no report on that, right? Because it's like there's no report on how the guys in Iraq are actually being treated pretty well by the Iraqi citizens. I mean, if we start reporting that stuff, next thing you know, we haven't got a story, right? If we actually start reporting that the guys in Iraq are, you know, being treated pretty well by the Iraqi citizens, and that there is racial profiling in other countries that far exceeds what happens to this country, man, we ain't got no story, right? You know, in my life, ever since I was, I don't know, 16, I've seen a lot. I mean, I've seen this country pass through Vietnam, Watergate, the whole 70s trip, you know, that whole blur, Reagan, attempted assassination of Reagan, the Korea jetliner getting blown out of the sky, the Marines getting blown up in Lebanon, the whole Reagan phenomena, the stock market rallies of the 1980s, and then the recession of the late 1980s, and then the Gulf War, and then the coming of Bill Clinton, and the resurgence of the country's economy, and the good times of the 90s, and the sudden kind of vague, distant threat of terrorism, and suddenly the election of President Bush, and about 8 months later, the whole thing comes crashing down with 9/11. And this country has gone through so much. It's amazing to see the people of this country, a lot of people. I mean, I don't really know who they are, but a lot of people think nothing's really changed in terms of America's place in the world in 30-plus freaking years. It's still sort of just all our fault and under our control. It's amazing, and it's a product of having never really been through any tough times. I mean, we like to think we've been through some tough times. This generation has been through some tough times. We haven't been through anything. We still are indulging in these pleasant conversations about how America, if we just get our act together, the whole world's going to be cool. Yeah, uh-huh. That'll happen. If we can just pull it together here in the United States and act more civilized, then everything's going to chill out around the world. Ain't going to happen. Let me tell you how I'm right, because I predicted some stuff. When I was at Aspen back in February, and I sat there in front of all those limousine yuppies at the Aspen Comedy Festival, and it was such an odious experience for me. I'm never going back to that. Not that I don't like the guys at the Comedy Festival. I don't like that town of Aspen at all. I can't stand those people. I'm telling you. I'm just being honest with you. I can't stand them. I said at the time, Senator Kerry saying in front of the Senate back in 1971 that his fellow soldiers were murderers and rapists is going to come back to haunt him. And I got this. Well, guess what? Welcome to the future, baby. Welcome to the future. I said at that time, because this was February, Dean was really on a roll. I said, Governor Dean, nobody supports this guy. I don't know what you... I said, I know the guy's on the cover of Time, man, but he just got his ass kicked in that Iowa caucus. He's done. Boo! Hey, about 3 days later, Howard Dean, man, they were shoving a fork in him, putting him on a plate and sticking an apple in his face. And then, at the beginning of the summer, we were talking about this. We were saying, is it my imagination or has this really become the Democratic Party, my party, have these cats really become like just anti-Bush? In other words, they don't have anything to stand on, right? And people didn't know what I was talking about. Now, as we head toward the election, all of a sudden it's getting pretty clear. Now, I talk like this. Guy says to me, what are you, like a right-wing show? Dude, I'm talking as a Democrat who is tired of being led around by a party that's lost its way, right? I mean, you don't know how I feel. All you got to do is I keep referring back to Zell Miller at the Republican convention. That's exactly how I feel. That's exactly how millions of Democrats feel. It isn't that we don't want to be Democrats. It's that this isn't a party we recognize anymore. This is the biggest load of jive that's come down the pike since that guy that, you know, since that clown that had that rainbow-colored wig and said he believed in Jesus. I mean, what are you guys talking about? I mean, what do you stand for? Here's a good example. Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, right? Okay, whether those guys were right or wrong, and I personally, I don't want to go there. I mean, like I said, I think Senator Kerry served his country, as far as I'm concerned, with valor and with honor. But no sooner do those guys hit the horizon that the response isn't anything really proactive. It's just reactive. Okay, we have Texans for Truth. What's up with President Bush and his National Guard thing? And now we'll pay anybody $50,000 if they can prove that Bush was in the National Guard. That's like my son. Did I tell you about the discussion I had with my son the other night? He says, prove we went to the moon. It's no longer a matter of researching for yourself the facts. It's just prove to me that you went to the, prove to me you served in the National Guard. That's not intellectual research. That's not the mark of an educated man. That is it's a simple-minded approach. Then the guy goes out and says, Social Security, health care, and we're going to make the cost of prescription drugs lower. And Bush said it. He said, man, that is some real tired-ass, boring campaigning, dude. I mean, have you got nothing else going on than to pander to old folks because you know that they're going to go to the polls quicker than most everybody else? I mean, it's sad. If I had my way, if it was John Kennedy, I'd vote for his ass. If Bill Clinton was running again, I'd vote for him. And I don't know what the hell happened to Al Gore. I voted for him in 2000. I'd vote for him again. I would feel fantastic with Al Gore as president of this country. Fantastic. That he would have made a great president. As it turns out, President Bush has made a great president. Gee, these things happen. You say, well, are you a Democrat? Yeah. But you know something, man? I don't always go 55. Sometimes I go 75. And sometimes I go 15, 20 miles an hour. When you say you're a liberal or a conservative, anybody that says they're always a conservative is as stupid as somebody who says they're always a liberal. I mean, these people have identified themselves that way. Not only are they dumb, but they're really like so 15 minutes ago, it's sad. Do you always eat like carbs, man, or do you kind of change up and have a little protein every now and again? Do you always, like, wear a red shirt, or do you occasionally put something, you know, a little bit of pattern in it on? Do you always wear your freaking hair long, man, or do you get it cut, and do you always wear a damn beard, or do sometimes you cut it into a goat or a soul patch, and you shave the whole bloody thing off? It's as ridiculous to say that someone is always looking the same way as saying that somebody's always a conservative or always a liberal. That's all. Why can't we change according to the times we live in and what our country needs, man? That's all I care about. I love this place so much. I'll do anything to give it what it needs. Right now, I hate to say it, it really needs George Bush. Oh, my God. We got so many frightened people out there. You got to lead them by the hand, pat them on the head, and tell them it's going to be okay. We're going to get through it, but get through it we have to. We can't retreat into the, hey, hi, old man, old lady, how'd you like your prescription drugs a lot cheaper? I'm Senator Kerry, man. I'm going to do that for you. Hey, how about this? You know that George Bush is going to get your Social Security money. You better vote for me. Come on. Look at John. You're married to a chick with all kinds of bread. Why don't you go kick it up there and wherever the hell you guys live and let President Bush finish out what the hell it is he's doing with the country. We'll survive. In fact, we'll flourish. And then in 2008, I say we either get Hillary in there or let's try that Gary Coleman thing again. Coming up tomorrow night, it's Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Thursday night, Bobby Dooley. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.